to us, and there's nothing better than having a live object lesson. And I have to take some of the blame for your attitude that you had, because I kind of taught that a little bit. Everything the church does, just shut it down, it's no good, you know. But there is real ministry in song. Amen? And I mean, I knew that, but I sometimes get a little overboard on things. But anyways, let's just pray. Lord, bless the preaching and reading, hearing of your word. Lord, just let it speak to us, Lord, about the broken life. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You see the word contrite in here, and then you see the word, two words, contrite ones. Those are actually taken from two different Hebrew words. The contrite is taken from the Hebrew word dakah, and contrite ones is taken from the Hebrew word dakah. They're very similar. The first one, dakah, means crushed. And if that wasn't good enough, then the dakah will get you. That means crumble and bruise. So there's no escape in brokenness in our life. And what a week that we've experienced brokenness with the election, with John, and just personal things you're going through. But humility and brokenness go together. And I can't think of a quicker way to get to humility than through brokenness. He'll teach you lessons very quick. We hate broken things and throw them away. I made a living fixing things, fixing houses, because we don't want things broken. Today, people even say broken things, but for the most part, we threw them away. But every true revival starts with broken people. And you know, that's maybe some of the misconception out there about revival, that you know, we can pump it up and do all of this, and it's actually God needs us broken and humble. That's when he can really pour out his spirit on us. And you know what is so great is God calls the used and discarded. And I said, we want to throw it away, but God says, oh, you're just where I need you to be. Amen. Amen. You know, people like to pull that psychology stuff and they say, well, I have no self-worth. I go, praise God. That's the best place for you to be. Now God can do something with you, you know. The Marines, we got a Marine, at least one Marine in here. Their slogan is a two. Who's the other one? John Hogan. No, John Hogan. How could I forget that? Forgive me, brother. Is he here? Anyways, their slogan is they could use a few good men. And God's slogan, he's looking for broken men. Amen? Praise God. He does great things with broken men. Job and David are good examples of broken men. And they what was written was by experience, not just mouthing words. Job 3:1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And then you can read the rest of that chapter. Just everything is distraught, total ruin and destruction. He was broken. Job 42:5-6, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. After all of that brokenness, what was the end results? Humility. Praise God. David, Psalm 31:12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of my mind. I am like a broken vessel. Psalm 38:8. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Psalm 69:20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Have we ever done that? Cried the blues to somebody? going through looking for somebody to be the answer, when all along Jesus is saying, I'm your answer. Come to me. This is my specialty. My specialty is broken people. I can't do much with you that are full of yourself, but I can do great things with you when you're broken. Praise God. Amen. I don't know. I guess I didn't really want this. I was kind of, when I got saved, I was like a normal, good American in Americans' eyes, and didn't go through a lot of brokenness. And there's a part of me like, boy, I'd have such a greater testimony if I experienced a lot of terrible, rotten things. But I'm glad I did. I did it. But you know what? I was still a broken person. You know, I was far from God. You know, in John, he had his most powerful event ever happened to him after he experienced brokenness, put on the island of Patmos. You know, history teaches that they tried to boil him to death or something like that. I don't know how true that is, but it couldn't kill him, so they didn't know what to do with the guy. And they banned him to an island of Patmos, and there he has the most glorious vision. Give us the whole book of Revelation. Amen? Because he could get broken before the Lord. And again, he didn't experience until after he was discarded. Don't ever despise being discarded. Revelation 1:9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because of the word of God and because of his testimony of Jesus Christ, the world didn't know what to do with him. Praise God. They put him out there, get him away from people, but we're still reading 2,000 years later what happened to him. Praise God. What he's seen. These men were used because they were willing to be broken. I guess, I don't know if we're always like willing to be broken, but we're willing to embrace the brokenness. That's important. And it takes humility to accept brokenness. You know, Jesus in Matthew 14:19-21, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And we see it wasn't until Jesus broke those loaves that they could really do something, really feed people to such an abundance that they had 12 baskets left over. I think we can see the value of brokenness right there. And it's Jesus broke the bread, and he wants to break you. He might not literally take you and snap you, but he might let the world do that to a little bit and let trials and tribulations come your way. He didn't create the coronavirus, but he did let it go through our church. Amen? He doesn't necessarily want us broken on the outside, though it could include that, but he wants us broken on the inside. He wants to break that spirit, our natural man, our own compulsion, our own desires to want to do things our way. An outward breaking, any outward breaking that he does with your body is meant to break you on the inside and humble you. Before Jesus broke the bread, he did this. He blessed it. And what he did is he sees on this planet broken people like you were. And he blessed you and saved you. But it didn't end there. Because what he blessed, he broke. So he blesses you and he lets you get broken. And then he blesses you and he lets you get broken. And it'll go on and on and on till you go to be with him to never be broken again. Praise God, permanently fixed. Hallelujah. If we put ourselves in the Lord's hand, then he can break us. I guess if I'm going to be broken, I want him to do it. When we drift away from the Lord, the devil, he'll wreak havoc on you. But that doesn't mean God still can't reach down into that miry, into that pit of filth and pull you out. He can, but if you're going to live a broken life, Put your life in the Lord's hands. Amen. Because even with this brokenness, I can't help He does it with mercy. Amen. And grace in our lives. So we become that bread that He breaks. And what does it do? It feeds multitudes of people. And there's even an abundance left over. Amen. This is what He'll do with us if we allow Him to break us. Now I want to read the last scripture. And our sister sang about it, about the alabaster flask. This is in Mark chapter 14, verses 3-9. And we didn't get together and talk about this. I was telling Joy, oh, she's singing what I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching what she's singing. Yeah. She did go first. Sometimes they say, oh, you look like your son. I go, no, he looks like me. He didn't birth us. Joy birthed them, but you know. You know where I was going with that. Amen. Amen. You'll forgive me in my brain fog, right? Mark 14:3-9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? You always got those kind of people, huh? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Praise God. That must have been a very special thing. Amen? To do. There's a lot of things that Jesus did that the whole world couldn't contain the books, but He singled her out and said, you're going to be talked about. And here I am 2,000 years telling the story. Hallelujah. But before this ointment could ever be poured out on Jesus' head to bless Him, that alabaster, that flask had to be broken. And it's what's even more significant is the woman that broke it had to be broken. Because otherwise she'd be hanging on to it and trying to get something out of it. But she saw her only really use for it is to give it all over to the Lord, broken before Him. And I like how you said that, sister. She didn't care what people thought about her. She didn't care, you know, what she had. You know, even like the woman with the issue of blood just breaking through the crowd. I'm just going to ignore all of these people and just get to Jesus. If we could just learn to quit, just start ignoring people a little bit and just worry about what the Lord thinks and getting to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. It sure be helpful in our lives. But she broke that flask as a broken person. And she, you know, some people give. We learn that about the widow and the Pharisee. Some people give from their abundance and some give from their poverty. She gave from her brokenness. And boy, she got a little extra special place because, again, we're reading about it again. And this ointment that was in this vessel was perfumed oil, a spikenard, an aromatic plant. And it's genuine. It's the real thing. It isn't something artificial. It isn't something man-made, something that men have tainted. But it was the pure, authentic, same kind of oil we have in us, not a generic thing. And when the vessel was broken open, it wasn't long, and you could even smell that. So powerful. And doesn't the Bible talk about us being aroma unto life to some? Some, you know, some people, when you start talking about the Lord, they run. It's because you're giving off a smell. That same smell that's sweet to people that love life is putrid to those that love death. We give off oil, a fragrance. And I think the more fragrance we can let off, the more effective we can be. Chase the people away quicker and bring people into the kingdom faster. Amen. But when we get saved, we become a habitation for the Most High God. And then when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we become a vessel His oil will flow through. I think sometimes it's a good way to view what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you know when you're born again, the Spirit comes to dwell in you. But there's a filling of the Spirit. And I think we focus a lot on that coming in. But the whole idea is for it to go out. Amen? So we can be like that alabaster flask that gets broken and that smell goes out. And everybody smells it, whether they like the smell or not. I don't like necessarily when a waitress is all loaded with perfume and it's on my coffee cup. It just doesn't go good, you know? But nonetheless, the smell is there. And the same thing when we're filled with the Spirit. That's this vessel being broken so that life of God can flow out of us and touch people. And we have to be a broken vessel if there's going to be a genuine move of the Spirit. Because every revival is the Spirit of God is active in. He is moving in and amongst the people. And I think we can see, you know, we have to be this broken people. That doesn't mean that you just always have to be around broken, but it means you face the brokenness and you're willing to face it and you're willing to go through it and put it in the Lord's hands. You can be going through maybe a high time with the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not a broken person. You've experienced your brokenness. Those seasons come and go more to others than some. But nonetheless, we've all faced brokenness. And what we have in us is more precious than that oil. It is the Spirit of Almighty God, and He wants to be poured out to this world. We are the ones that have to release Him. We are the ones that have to say, enough of me. Got to get me out of the way. And let that oil, that brokenness of our life flow, and let the oil of the Spirit touch everybody. The flask, actually that flask is nothing. Just like how many bottles do you throw away? Once you're done with the ketchup, you don't need the bottle anymore. You bought what's in the bottle. You didn't buy the container. The only container I ever save is when I buy a tub of drywall mud. Those are nice buckets to use afterwards for other things. But pretty much throw I threw my vitamin bottle away just the other day. No more vitamins in it. And the same thing with us. This vessel, as much as we are so important to each of us, as spiritual beings, it's not worth anything. But who's in us? That is our worth in the kingdom of God. In this world, of course, everybody thinks they're special and of great value, but before the Lord, our only value is Him in us. Praise God. Our flesh and our body without the oil of the Spirit is of no spiritual value on this earth. And the problem is it can be awful special to us at times, but so, and it becomes so special our life that we refuse the brokenness. And we get broke, you know, things happen, our world can seem like it's upside down and it's going to, you know, end today. But I thank you, Sister BJ, for going through your brokenness. I mean, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to go, but you came out trusting the Lord. You could have just tucked your tail under your leg and curled up in a ball for the rest of your life and used the world and all of the brokenness, all the heartache, everything, all of the hate, all the abuse that's come into your life. You're going to let that destroy you, and you wouldn't be sitting here today. You wouldn't be blessing us here, but you let that broken life be of value to the Lord. Amen. We have a living witness. Who would think such a life? I've heard so many stories. I just can't get by it. Well, you can get by it if you give it to the Lord. You can get by anything. There isn't anything too vile. There isn't any sin too rotten that you've done too many times that the Lord will never, ever forgive and wash you clean. And I love this, like you never did it. That's what's so awesome. I mean, you still remember, but he don't. Praise God. Awesome. Awesome. And because of your brokenness that you went through, you can minister such great life to us today. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Amen. You don't know how your faithfulness to the Lord, what it can do sometime in the future or today. But your faithfulness to God will be useful. You know, again, that's what I heard. One of the first things I heard about John, oh, he was such a faithful man. You know, I actually appreciate, I don't know if this is right to say this or not, but it's true. I actually appreciate him more now. Now that I realize what a blessing he's been to the church. And I go, oh, what a blessing, Lord, that you gave us John for these years. I was a deacon with him years ago at our old church for like 9 years. And then we kind of like, you know, I moved on and went into ministry, and the Lord brought us back together. And, you know, it wasn't long. He's teaching again. He's back on being an elder again. And it was just wonderful. And I just, as he watched me, I watched him. We'll just keep on growing in the Lord. Amen. So there's a God here who wants to use all of us today. And all that brokenness that you face, and all that brokenness you will face, God is using for your good. I'm telling you, when you're going into something, remember that. Just remember that. If you can, write yourself a note. God's going to do something because of this. He just doesn't do it. He doesn't like I picked on my sister Sandy, just get her mad and spite her. I didn't have any purpose but meanness. But God's not like that. Everything that comes in your life, He's meant it for good. The devil meant it to kill you and destroy you. And that must frustrate the devil more than anything. He sends this to destroy you, and God comes cleaning up the mess and doing it, making you better, making you stronger. You're building your faith and all of this. The devil tried to destroy. But you know, you got these religious people out there, you know, and that woman broke that flask. They started complaining, why was this fragrant oil wasted? You know what you do with people like that? Just ignore them. Don't pay attention to them. Just go do your thing. Leave us alone. I want to serve God. This world thinks we're fools, don't they? The preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. They think we're fools. What we do, they think we're wasting our life. Isn't that like kind of reversed? Don't you look at them and go, well, you're wasting your life. You could be using your life for the glory of God. Your life, you could be so full of love for people and a blessing for people, and you're wasting it on your party, and you're wasting it on aspiring for this and success and all of these things, just wasting it. Anything that we spend that is spent on Jesus, whether it's your money, your resources, your time, and your very own life, is the thriftiest, wisest spending you will ever. You cannot be a better steward than giving that to Jesus, everything in your life. You ask him, give him wisdom on how to do that. But again, the religious crowd, they always answer with a spiritual response. They try to act so holy. This could have been sold. Oh, they sound so compassionate. They weren't a bit compassionate. They were envious, and they were jealous, and they were, you know, they weren't getting the applause. They weren't getting the attention that they so desired. It was going that Jesus would receive this woman. Don't they know who she is? And don't they, he know who? It isn't so much, here's what I think. It isn't so much, don't they know what she is? It's don't they know who I am? I think that's what bothered them more than who she was. So, what this woman did extremely pleased the Lord. And we could say that her story is world famous, but I think it's heavenly famous. Amen. We want to be famous in heaven. Why did Jesus accept what she did with such high honor? Number one, she humbled herself. We can never leave that position of humility. It is the life we live. Number two, that ointment was totally spent on the Lord, like the widow's mite, gave all she had. He didn't say that those other people were wrong for giving in their abundance. He didn't rebuke them for that, but he's just saying she gave her all. That was more received and more accepted. But I don't want you to hold back blessing our sister because some of you are abundant. Still bless her, okay? And also it identified with his death because he was going to face a brokenness for us. Amen. Understand, when you're broken, he faced it first. Amen. And he went through it and came out resurrected. Hallelujah. Praise God. And, you know, he calls us to face brokenness and to face the cross. But he doesn't also do that without knowing the power of his resurrection. Amen? It's just not one side to this thing. You face your brokenness, but then face your resurrection and liberty from it. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be broken? And I'm wrapping this up. Have no value in yourself. To see that you are useless to the Lord in your natural state. I think we said that already. Somebody did that. We can do nothing without him. You need to understand your natural life is utterly contemptible before the Lord. You don't need to try to make it better. Try to get to see it crucified. To despise the sin you once loved, or maybe despise the sin you love now. If you love sin, ask God to deliver you. Repent of it and get a distaste for it. There's not a better way to not sin than just have a distaste for it. To see your sin as God sees it. To understand your natural life cannot be rebuilt or be rehabilitated. I talked about that a few weeks ago. I like this one. At least this is what I've experienced. To lose my energy to make my natural life something wonderful. We try to do that. You get all these ideas. I'm going to really aspire and be this. I lost my energy for that. Well, my spiritual life. That's what I'm investing in my spiritual life. Reading my word, seeking the Lord, being together with the saints, ministering, and all the things that we do. It means to give yourself over completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is, again, not just our Savior. He is our Lord. That's what I like about Paul on the road to Damascus. First thing he says, what would you have me to do? Or who are you, Lord? Recognize him as the Lord already of his life. Whenever we, to find your only worth in him. When we become important in our own thinking, it is then we are heading for a breaking. Don't despise brokenness. Embrace it. God wants to use you. Praise God. God, he just doesn't take you through brokenness. Well, it's because we're Christians. I'm calling all my children to experience some brokenness. He doesn't just do it like that. There's a purpose. There's an end result to everything every one of us experiences. Some, but it's not going to be on the platform as BJ's where she can minister to multitudes of people or as myself, a pastor and a preacher. But nonetheless, your brokenness that you experience is for your life to be a vessel for others. People can smell the fragrance that comes out. God is ready to use you and God will use you. So, the altar is open if you, and I'm going to ask BJ to come up, and if you would like her to pray for you, you will. If you are just experiencing brokenness in your life and just need some encouragement, you can come up to the altar and pray. Again, if you would like her to pray, I'll pray with you as well. Just come on up. Jeremy, you want to just come up and play a song? And you can just stay there in your chair if you want to reflect and get serious with God and say, Lord, I'm ready, God, to face. But I know we all wince at that. We all wonder what we're going to do if this or that happens, you know, but just trust God that the grace of God will be there when that time comes. Don't live in fear of what may be. Amen? Just say, God, I'm ready. I'll go wherever. I'm ready to face whatever. So if you want us to pray for you, come on up. If you don't want us to, you can come up anyway. Just let us know if you want us to pray for you. An altar is open. And let's just spend some moments here just reflecting on where we are with the Lord. If we think we're something that we're not, we need to repent of that. Amen.
Only Son, perfect and spotless.